Pepe, hold on. We're gonna stop that. We're gonna stop that. There we go.
No.
And I know that I, as the title says, I use humor and I laugh at funerals. Ha! And I crack jokes and crack wise. Today we'll be joined by my friend from Warrensburg, the Berg, my old stomping ground, Andrew, and he will share his story. But first, before we have Andrew come on, I want to take a minute to talk about our sponsors. Laughing at Funerals is brought to you by Death. It's what keeps you alive. All right, that is it for our sponsors. We need to get new sponsors here. This is what, our second or third episode of this. So if you're out there, we'd love to have you come check us out. Check us out, like us on Facebook, and in real life, Laughing at Funerals. So yeah, let's bring in Aaron. Or Andrew, sorry. Andrew, this is off to a great start. Andrew, my man, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain. It's cold though, but it's not as cold as like people are making it out to be. I stepped outside today, and it said it was like people are like, oh, it's worse than Antarctica. And I walked outside today, and it wasn't that bad.
That's funny.
But yeah, so what have you been up to, man?
Nothing today, really. Like, I've certainly been Netflixing all day today.
You've been what?
Watching Netflix all day today.
Oh, what show? What show you been watching?
Anything and everything.
Okay. Well, that sounds mysterious. All right.
Mysterious.
Yeah. My favorite show on Netflix. I watch a lot of it. I've been watching a lot of the Marvel series. I love. I didn't like Iron Fist. That I hated the Iron. Don't ever watch the Iron Fist if you're watching if you're into that stuff, because I did dislike that. Even the Defenders, the superhero series on that, I hated that, and just the Iron Fist involvement in that. It was bad. But yeah, so we're having you on here, and. Yeah, you. I know you talked. We met at the open mic, and I've seen you a few times there. Tell your kind of story and share your faith and testimony, and I thought that was really cool and really brave of you to do that. And so I wanted to have you on and talk about your experience, especially. I know that you've lost your parents.
One, my mom.
Yeah, your mom, and you talked about that at the last open mic that I saw you at the Old Drum open mic on last Thursday, or a couple Thursdays ago, and I was moved by that because it was interesting because I was just actually starting this show, and so I was like, well, this is perfect time to kind of have you on and to kind of have you talk about. What helped you get through that, and how you are able to deal with the death of your mother?
Well, dealing with it was a struggle, and still is sometimes for me.
Yeah,
because a lot of the young men also have the moms in their lives, and tell them, oh, I shouldn't do this, and decide to treat them and all that. Well, I really don't have that this time.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a struggle. It's still a struggle for me, and it doesn't that doesn't change. It doesn't the hurt doesn't really go away. But yeah, it's one of those things where you just have to realize that you have to kind of deal with it the way that you. I guess, like, I know for me, I just had to remember how awesome she was as a mother, and to use that and to use her life and story and her bravery. And what, like, my mom died from breast cancer, and so I just wanted to use how she passed away and have the influence that she had on other women to just to keep her memory alive and to make sure that she knows that she, like, her struggle wasn't in vain, that she didn't die
exactly, yeah.
I guess in vain, yeah. And you know, just, and also a blueprint to how to deal with cancer and how to deal with that struggle. So tell us a little bit about that process, if you don't mind, if it's not going to be too painful for you. Tell us a little bit about how you were able to what it was like, you know, when she passed away, and then how you are able to, or dealt with it at the beginning, or just your emotions when she first passed away.
Okay. We had a little bit of backstory. My mom always had,
yeah,
was always sick, and then it was on March 11th, 2009, is the day she passed away, and it's 3 days after my 12th birthday. And I was at school at the time, so I got called to the office. I was, oh yeah, I'm going home, and blah blah blah. And then I told my sister that I'm like, okay, this is something much happened or whatever. And my grandparents came, and when we got in the car, they told us. And at first, I was like in complete shock. Like, oh, that didn't happen, and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to my house, it was like, it all came true. Also, my world came, like, tumbling down.
Ew.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just terrible for me at that time. But
yeah, it's pretty shocking, isn't it? It's like, I know,
yeah,
exactly how you feel, because you just feel like everything comes, it has that moment of everything coming down, you,
yeah,
know, just the world around you just crumbling. Anyways, go ahead.
But then about a week, after like a week or so, getting over the grieving province, we had a funeral, and that's when it actually finally, like, hit me like a brick wall, like a train, almost a train on a brick wall hit.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh my gosh, I just lost my mom. Like, I'll never be able to see her again. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what are all these emotions going on that? And then that's when I kind of lost it. Like, I won't talk to nobody. I just be in my room, just by myself, maybe listening to music or reading some of my favorite books or whatever. And trying, at that time, I was being antisocial to everybody, even including my own family. You know?
Yeah. And that's, and you know, if that was like, that was a part of your grievances, what
yeah.
I guess do you understand, like, why you had that kind of feeling, like why you didn't want to talk to anybody? I kind of felt like that too a little bit. There was certain times where I just didn't want to talk to anybody.
Now looking back, I do know why I feel like that. Like, I do that because I feel like nobody knows what's going through on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But just let me tell you, for all listening who did lose someone, there is somebody who knows what you're not going through, but what feels like what you're going through, and they're there to help you. I had somebody at that point, which I didn't. But then it's been rough.
Yeah, that's really important to feel like that. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's really important to feel that you have somebody there who you can – just like, I don't want to say, yeah, I guess, like, have that where you can have that kind of breakdown with, and that you,
yeah,
can, that kind of understands like what you're going through, or will just be there I know for me, like, I had people who all of a sudden it's just like, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And I'll kind of go into my story here after you, but like, it can be really overwhelming, and I can understand why you wouldn't want to talk to anybody about what you're going through.
Yeah. Where was I? Forgot, lost track. Oh, crap.
Well, you were saying how like you felt like you didn't, nobody knew what you were going through, and then you were telling people, hey, if you were like going, you know, if you ever feel like that, there are people you can talk to and who have experienced what you're experiencing. So.
Yeah. And then it's been, let me jump before, because I haven't gotten over that at that time. Then it was about my 10th grade year. I was finally becoming a youth in the church. I was so excited. And then this verse hit me. I can't remember what Bible verse, but it's talking about sparrows. Like, sparrows are worth more than like 10 pennies, something like that. And
yeah.
Then that's when I remember. That's when I remembered my mom's. I don't think it was a Bible saying, but verse. But I'm not. But tell me if I'm correct or whatever. But sorry, so that his eyes on sparrow, and that's when it hit me. And that's when I actually finally came to realize that it's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be fine. But yeah.
Yeah, and so you got comfort out of reading the scriptures,
yeah.
And you were involved in your youth group at your church, and now they were they like that comfort zone for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
That's important to have. I know. I leaned on the church too when my mom passed away. I had a really strong comfort zone, and when my dad did too, like, I even more so, I had to just have those, like, for me, I just had to have those like father figure types within the church help help guide me as to what's my next move or help me deal with the feelings of kind of regret that I'm going through. But so you were in 10th grade when that happened, man. Dang.
No, I was in fifth grade. Fifth grade. Yeah,
oh, sorry.
Grade.
I thought you said you were in 10th grade. Okay, so you were in fifth grade. Wow, really young, man. Just such a that's really like incredibly sad. Now, do you have any other siblings? Is it just you?
At the time there was only me, my older sister, and that was it for the being.
Okay. Yeah, and like, did you guys, are you guys all, and you don't have to answer like any of this, if you, it's all getting like a little weird, you can just let me know, but are you guys all like within like the same like spiritual beliefs? Do you guys all have the same belief system, or how did you guys? Okay. So you guys had that, you guys leaned on that, you guys were all, sure you guys were able to comfort each other through that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, man, dang. It's still rough though, isn't it? Like having to, especially like you were, how old were you? Like
3 days of my 12th birthday.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's got to be, and you're such, I mean, you're just entering like, you know, you had this, like, you were this adolescence, and so I mean you were just a little boy, so I can completely understand you just having all these like weird like non-social emotions that you would have.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be and so eventually you were able to, like, through your youth group and your family, do you kind of distance yourself from them, or?
For a while I did, but then after a while, like, the family, I have to talk to them eventually, and that's when I broke down and told them.
Yeah.
And I had to talk to them, broke down, and this is what I'm going through, and blah, blah, blah.
And maybe, I think everybody has that differently, and everybody, you know, you've heard this statement. Everybody kind of grieves differently. So, Yeah, like people, you know, I know for me, I got kind of angry when people were trying to tell me how to kind of grieve. Like, well, you know, it's not.
I did too.
Yeah. Yeah. And or like, hey, you know, you need to like, I don't know. Like, it was kind of frustrating when people were trying to give me advice as to what to do. I'm like, you just need to leave me alone right now, man. Like, and I know for me, like, cause I was like 28 or what was that? It was like 27. My mom passed away a few years back. And, I just found myself like saying this like verbal, like diarrhea of like, well, you know, she's in heaven now and I take comfort in that. She's in heaven now and I take comfort in that. And I would say that to everybody, just to get them to stop talking to me sometimes, just because, and there was times where I did like generally take comfort, but like most of the times it was just like, okay, like, I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. Like, you know, I kind of really don't want to talk to you right now. So like, that's what I'm going to say. And that was my way of kind of getting people to like back off, because I mean, I'm sure you had this too. It's like people care about you that they're trying to reach out, but sometimes you just don't want to talk.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. So you were able to, kind of, get through the scripture, get through the word. Now what, like your church, were they like, did they help you in any kind of like, did you go through any sort of counseling, or was it just you?
Just being with them and just being there for me. If I wanted to talk about it, they were there and listened.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. What did your mom die of? How did she pass away?
I'm not for sure. I think it was like Turner syndrome or something like that. But I mean, I still lost my dad before this. I think it was Turner syndrome, something like that.
But you had, so you, like, it was kind of a surprise to you for this when that happened.
No, not really, because my mom always had ups and downs.
Okay.
And this was like, the year before, so it'd be in 2008, like around Thanksgiving, Halloween, somewhere around between there, my mom fell asleep on the toilet, and nobody knew about it.
Wow.
And so we woke up, and like she was in some sort of, like her like body temperature was like below normal, way below normal. So we rushed to the ER, and then she was on life support for like 2-3 weeks.
Wow, that's pretty. Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, and then the doctor put her on hospice, and they said she only has so long to live. That's in January, and then in March, the last 2 weeks she lived, she was like her normal self again. Like she was smiling, talking to everybody, and at that time, my new cousin on my dad's side, was around, and we have pictures of holding her, and she was smiling on that. And then all of a sudden, one day, she didn't wake up from her sleep, but she went peacefully, which put me even at more ease. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. So she came back home from the hospice.
No, she was on hospice. Like she went home on hospice.
Oh, she went home on hospice. Okay.
Yeah, and then the doctor only gave her like her a certain amount of time, but she's surprised.
Okay, but she was smiling and she was in good spirits.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. I'm sorry. Like my mom she was in hospice care, and then they took her to the hospice center, and so I was living in Chicago at the time, so I was really confused as to what was going on. And it just was like, my mom died too. Well, she died peacefully, but like she was kind of fighting too. And we just finally told her, stop it. You don't need to anymore. You don't need to, like, just go, you know, go be with Jesus, man. Take his hand, walk with him. because she, Yeah, like it was definitely one of those where it was she was fighting and she didn't want to go just yet,
but
it was her time, I guess. It was her time.
And my mom said, I don't know if she said this, but to my dad, I'm not gonna leave until my kids are ready for me to leave.
Oh,
I
really?
That's
crazy.
That wasn't ready, but now look back, I was ready.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? I said that's crazy because my mom actually she it was the same situation too. It was great. My brother, she had called my brother because my brother had gone back to southern Missouri where he was living at the time, and he just talked to my mom. And on the phone, just said, "Hey, mom, it's okay. You know, you can go. It's okay. You can go." And within like the minute after that, she left, and she passed away. And so I do think there's something to that. There's something to like, okay, having that kind of moment where it's like, okay, you know, the kids are ready. The kids are you know, okay with it. So. Not okay with it, but you know, are ready for me to go. And it was, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I got a cough. It's so like, I try not to go. I kind of stayed in a little bit today and did some work from home. It's so cold out. How have you been able to, like, I know for me, when I still, I mean, not a day goes by where I don't think about her, but there's sometimes I still like dream about her, like she's still alive.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, I just, mom, hey. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, she's not here. Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's been, you know, a few years now. So I don't really know. I don't know what that means, but I just still know. I still that there's that still that time where I still have those frequent dreams about her and where she's in them. And so I don't know if you know or like if you have that or what. But
no, I don't have that. But I do have this. So my mom had two like. Plus animals, stuffed animals, and they were both Siberian tigers.
Okay.
And when my mom died, I put one in a casket and one with me.
Oh, sweet.
Out, wherever I've lived, or slept, even if the night at night at a friend's house for one night, I would take that thing with me.
Oh.
And wherever I went, that was with me. So that's how I get comfort knowing that she's still with me because I have that plus stuffed animal.
That's cool, man. That's a great story there, man. And I bet that does give you comfort. And my mom, my mom used to collect angels, so I have angels around here. And she's still yelling at me through these because she's like, Ryan, you better clean up.
I know what you mean.
So it's also good to have. We're here, and I'm gonna start promote us here. We're here at Laughing at Funerals, and we're taking like anything. I posted on Facebook any kind of like crazy things that you've seen happen at a funeral that you've been to, or just you know, if you want to just share your story with the loss of a loved one. Give us a call at 646-787-1540. I would love to hear your story, and because that's kind of what this show is about, is about people sharing their stories about how they got over the loss of a loved one. I know for me, and I'm here with Andrew. How do you pronounce your last name, Andrew?
Sissel.
Okay, Andrew,
yeah.
Sissel. And he is sharing about his mom passed away when he was in fifth grade at such a young age. And he is just sharing with us. And I thank you for sharing with us about how he, the stuff that he does to get over it, like, you know, taking the stuffed animals and make, you know, that his mom used to collect and all of that, and how he got over that. And so that's kind of what we're doing here. And Andrew, Like, so you, how you doing now with that, everything? Like, and it's been, what, 2009? So, and I know you said it's still sometimes a struggle with you. And so, how's that going now?
Right now it's going great. But, once in a while, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you legs. I feel sad about it. But then, like, at that time, it was for the best and still is. Because I've always had memories with me and stuff like that. And I would have always have a love for books. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, we had
tons of books. We had tons of books growing up.
Yeah, so you still have those books that she gave you.
Yeah.
Talk to us. Are you... Like I originally, I'm, like tell us about like your story about like growing up. Like, what was your family like?
You want to hear the long version or the short version?
You know what? We got time here. Let's go ahead, man. Well, go ahead. Let's just chat here, man.
Okay. So if you can't tell, I have somewhat of an accent depending on what people.
I'm trying to figure out
what
your accent is, man. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like,
you
should
know this. I told you that Thursday, 2 Thursdays ago.
I did. You did. I know, but I'm trying to play it up.
Can I be somebody that pay attention?
I did. No, I know. It's you're like from
Russia.
Yeah.
Then where's my accent from?
You're from Russia.
Correct. So
told you I paid attention. I was playing that up for, like, the radio thing, the podcast.
Sure,
I was going to have people call in and guess your accent.
Yeah, you should have. That'd been funny.
Anyways, you had this Russian accent. Were you born there, man?
Yes, I was. I was born in Siberia, Russia. Don't know what town.
Okay.
But my original name is Constantine. Something, something, something. My middle name is too hard to pronounce. And
something,
it's like
something,
long.
Something.
Yeah, but no, my name is Constantine. Middle name, don't know how to pronounce. Vladimirovich.
Okay. What's your last name?
Vladimirovich.
Vladimirovich. So Constantine. By the way, that's an awesome name. If my name, I might start calling myself Constantine.
I find that funny, okay? Because Constantine was a Roman Empire that made Christianity the main religion than the Roman Empire that is, okay?
Yeah.
And then Vladimirovich, the first thing that pops into your mind is Count Vlad, the myth where the vampires came from. So, like, that's kind of funny and scary and all that at once. Because the good and then the evil.
Yeah.
But like, it comes to my middle name.
That's true. Yeah, the history is, and that's cool that you know the historical aspects of who Constantine was and his importance to, religion in the Roman Empire. Then there's some debate on to whether he did it for like political reasons or whatever. But that's cool, man. And that's awesome. I did you share that with us on last Thursday, a few Thursdays ago?
I did. If you were paying attention, you would know that. Hello.
Yeah, probably. Well, I'm just... I did. I thought I did, man. I thought I did. I knew that you had... Like, you said you were from Siberia and the Russian... So, take us through that and to lead us up to what led you to come here.
Okay, so I don't know much about my past, but how I got here was my mom and dad saw a video of me. Because they were trying to adopt another baby from Russia.
Okay.
Let me back up for a moment. Hold on. I have an older sister who's also from Russia who they adopted before me. So they fell in love with the Russian culture and stuff. They wanted another child from there. So they were getting these tapes and tapes and tapes. They saw a tape of me, and I guess somehow they fell in love with me for some reason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that time I was like, I don't know how old, but when my parents came and got me, my mom had diabetes pretty badly. And at that time, her blood pressure went, not blood pressure, her insulin went, like, just fell. I went through the roof, one of those two. But anyways, the judge thought she was going crazy, so she had her and me put in a mental hospital. But these two sparrows will come, like, each day, and it's be in the window and calm my mom down. And soon she got calm enough where the judge released her and me.
Oh, that's nice.
But then, they went back to the judge. Same judge, okay? And that time, I had chicken pox and some other stuff. And they didn't know what at the time. So the judge said, told my dad and my mom to go find a baby boy to adopt. And my dad had some pulled towards the woods and told them to a translator. And the translator, I first regretted, but then saw how mad my dad was. So the translator told my dad, the judge, what my dad told him. So then I got approved to go to get adopted. Yay.
Okay.
And then I'm like, here. Yeah, I'm like, you're a pretty big deal. But then I'm like, here. My dad said I died like a couple of times died on the airplane. And then once we landed in New York, like there was an ambulance waiting and I was in a hospital for like a day. And that's it, just for a day. I was pulling fluids and then a doctor said, take him to your pediatrician. He should be good, he's still on fluids. So the only thing that's wrong with me was chicken pox and I was low on fluids.
Chicken pox and low on fluids.
Yeah.
So that's a shot. Yeah, I've been there. So you were on the airplane that you passed away, and are you like you said you died on the airplane, right?
Yeah.
And so when they landed, they had the ambulance like waiting, like going, "What the heck?" And so trying to rush you out of what's going on. That must have been crazy, like nerve wracking for your father.
Yeah. Well, it's like my grandma came up too. And like, it was like everybody's chaotic, but I got so I stayed at the hospital for a day. Fine, went back to Missouri. And then I don't remember much growing up, but because I tried to block that stuff out, because it's not pleasant times for me. That's a whole different story. But anyways, this one time my mom was doing great at this one time. So we went to we're in Missouri, and there's this place called Fantastic Caverns. Which is like drive through caves.
Yeah.
This was when I was like
great place.
This was when I was like in first grade. Had no idea where we were going. My dad said, "Oh, we're going on a day trip." I'm like, "Okay, where are we going?" It took like all like forever, seemed like forever to go there. But once we got there, that's the best one of the best times ever had with my family.
A Fantastic Caverns, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Are you close to your family now?
Yeah.
You still close with them?
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, it's like there was, and I don't know how it was with you, but with my family, we had a tight-knit family growing up. It was me and my brother and my parents.
Yeah, we did.
And when my mom died, unfortunately, my dad did not handle everything well, and so he really tested the tightness of the family because he started to drink. He started to drink himself, and he became kind of like, because he had a lot of regrets with how he handled the caretaking of my mom, and so it caused like my mom's death caused a lot of drama within the family, not just with him. And me and my brother, because we wanted to get him help, and we had to have that several conversations with him, but also with my mom's side of the family and my dad's side of the family. And so it was just, there was a lot of drama involved, and I just, that was one of the most difficult things about having to go through that, is because during this time I was trying to mourn with my mom, for my mom, I was also having to be like peacemaker to the family too, you know, and so it was a mess, and that's cool that you're still really cool with your family and that they, and hopefully you guys had, and I don't know if you want to share anything, but like, hopefully you guys had, you know, kind of a, you guys all handled it well and, you know, have moved on. But yeah, it was, I know it kind of caused a lot of division within the family about, you know, when you experience that death. Yeah. But hello?
Hello, you there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool. That lost you there for a second.
Okay,
man.
Yeah. It's just waiting for you.
Oh, well, I'm done. I was just saying that because, you know, I was just sharing that how, like, my family, it did cause, like, drama, like, with every death that I've been to. I've lost both my grandparents and then my parents, and it's just caused drama every time with people. And I'm like, usually what I find out is that those people, there's a difference between, and I don't want to judge how anybody reacts, but those people who are left with all that drama and trying to cause that drama, they weren't the Christ followers in the family. They weren't that. They didn't have that church to go to. They didn't have they didn't have those people they could talk to that would comfort them like that. You know, me and my brother, we had those friends, we had those family members, we had those our pastors to kind of counsel us in situations. So I just wanted to share that because it can be really stressful on the family after that, after you lose a parent.
Yeah, it does. Or anybody close to you, like friends or anybody like that.
Mhm. Yep. So how long, you've been a Christian your whole life, man? Or is that like, I don't think I've.
No.
Go ahead.
I grew up in the churches. Mm-hmm. I never truly believed until 2008. I really accepted Jesus into my heart. And then my mom died, so I kind of turned away from all that for 2 years until I started going back to church again. Then I found him again, but like I said, it's like a struggle sometimes, but
yeah.
I gotta lean on and pray on a day basis.
Did you see? So you said you turned away from the church and from Jesus after that. Were you?
Yeah.
I mean, that was obviously. Have some sort of anger there, or did you just feel like you were deceived?
No, because I thought that time was going good. Let's move to a whole new house, made new friends on that. Got a faith, and then lightning bolt, mom dead.
Yep.
So I'm like, I see how it is, God. Like, I see how it is. See ya. Talk to your hand.
Did you?
So I literally walked away.
Yeah.
But then, for some reason, my friends can't invite me to church. I'm like, oh, why do I want to go to church? So this is like a month. They kept inviting me for like 4 months. I'm like, no, not today. Maybe next. And I kept saying, I go next week.
I hear you, man.
Now it's dreaming. I'm like, no, this isn't that. I'm like, I'm not. I was just dreaming. I'm like, okay. I'm like, and it's just Tuesday. I'm like, you're going to church? She's like, yeah, why? I'm like, come and pick me up. It's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I don't know why I said that. But I'm glad I did, because,
that's when you reaccepted Christ. Now, I had pretty much the same kind of falling out. So not with my mom passing away, but just earlier. I think I was probably around your age because I had that kind of falling out, or I stopped wanting to go to church, or stopped even caring. And I found myself like in certain situations, like I found myself, I would believe in God. Go ahead.
It's like you didn't fully trust him. Like, you had your hesitance. Like, I might do this, I might not. You need to find other ways to do it and stuff. But yeah. Hello? Hello? You there? Hello? 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 Hello, hello, hello. What? What? Hello?
All right, I'm back. I think hopefully Andrew calls back in. I'll have him call back in. What's up? Andrew, we got disconnected there somehow.
I know. It's my phone. My phone is acting up.
Okay, yeah, yeah, because my I was like, I can hear you. I can hear you just fine. I was like, I can hear you, man. I can hear you.
I was like, hello, hello, hello. I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm gonna hang up and see if I can recall him. But yeah.
Yeah, I had to recall back. I had to call back in the show because of certain audio weirdness going on here. But yeah,
yeah.
So we were talking, and this is where I'm Ryan McChesney. I'm talking with Andrew Sickle about.
Nope, you said it wrong.
Sissel?
Sissel.
Yeah, sorry, Sissel. Sorry, I thought you said Sickle at the first of.
No, it's yeah. Sissel, like Sissel, but it's with C's.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
Sissel.
Like, oh, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. It does make sense. So, anyways, we're just talking about how we kind of got dealt with the death of our mother. Now, you and I kind of had the same experience with the church where we kind of like, I know for me, I believed in God, but I didn't like him. And I there was times where I was angry. I never stopped believing, but I just was angry at him and was like, man, I don't really like want anything to do with you because you're just, you know, it was just,
like, you don't care.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing to me, man? What are you doing here? And then I was like, well, if you know, he's all knowing, and if he is God, then I have to at some point go back to him and go, I don't understand this, but I need you right now. And you went back in the church because your friend kept on inviting you and inviting you and inviting you.
Like,
and so finally,
yeah, put it off next week. That's
yeah.
One day, but
yeah. And, that's cool. I never had, like, I don't know if I ever had anybody like that, like, that would always keep, like, always invite me to church like that.
Yeah.
I did. It was just, she was like an older lady, and I'm like, and I'm glad that she cared enough, but it was still like, I still would have liked having people my own age care enough about me to want to hang out with me at church.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yeah, I do.
But so yeah, and you got back involved, and you rededicated your life to Christ, and
yeah.
It's still, you know, like I think it's the same thing for me and you. It's still kind of been like an ongoing, and I don't know if that's ever going to change. It's like an ongoing process and of dealing with, you know, the grief or dealing with the loss, because it's what happened. It's there, you know, you have to kind of move on somehow, kind of deal with it somehow. And that's why I'm doing this podcast. That's why I'm doing this. So yeah, you, what do you got going on now in your life? Talk to us now. Like what's going on with you?
I'm on my own now, which is, I'm like, yay, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But then
what do you not know about that?
What do you mean? No, so I'm on my own now. Like, I have my own place and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. That's you. You're becoming an adult, man.
I wish.
Yeah.
Other
than it's
I
scary.
Job.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, going to this good church. I'm seeing where to go from there.
Cool, man. That's cool. It's you know, it's always, and I'd really appreciate you sharing all of that last time at the old drum open mic, because
yeah,
I thought that was
whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciated you sharing that, because I kind of identified with you a lot of that, because I mean, there is some sort of like raw like emotion that goes along with the struggle of everyday life when you're
mm-hmm.
having to, you know, like you said, your dad was you know, cursing the, well, who is he cursing? I'm sorry.
The translator.
And just that kind of like, and because of you know, the health of you guys and health of everybody. And I mean, that was a powerful story to me. And you know, I could definitely feel you, like when you said that, like how you dealt with, you know, your mom's passing, that, you know, you didn't want to talk to anybody. And, you know, there is that, and there's that, you know, desire to, like I was saying earlier, a desire to, like, when somebody passes away, when somebody, you know, passes away, like there are times, like I fell for this myself, is that there are times when I go to the person who I know is a relative of that person, and I will try to, you know, I will bombard them with messages, you know, saying, hey, I'm here if you need, you know, and I'm generally just trying to help them out, but they're not responding to me, and I'll take offense to that. But I, it's not, you know, everybody has to go through that. And there is that process that you and I both went through, where we were just kind of, I don't know if I really went through that. I'm trying to think. I think I was actually like more social. Like, I think I didn't think I wanted to be alone. Maybe that was, I was like different in that. Like, I didn't want to be alone. So I wanted to have, like, I just needed to have some sort of interaction with people, and to have that kind of, whether it be on social media or whether it be on the phone or just something like that. Yeah, I just needed something like that. And so yeah, I think maybe I was actually like the opposite of that for me, because I know when I got alone, and especially like when I got alone during the process, when I found out my mom had cancer, that's when I was just like, it all kind of like everything hit me. Like you had that moment, like that would be me when I would get alone. Everything would hit me like bricks, and I'm losing.
Yeah.
I was always trying to talk to people. You know, I was a little different on how I handled that. And then my dad, yeah, same thing with my dad too. I was always like, hey, yeah, you know, I need somebody to talk to, and there was also a lot of family drama too, and I just didn't want to deal with that, so I tried to like avoid certain people. And It was a mess. It was a mess.
Yeah.
And luckily, God willing, all of that, God's grace through all of that, we got through that. So that's what I like take through that, is that we looked at the eye of the storms, that we came out stronger in our faith because of that.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, you kind of had that storm too, and you've come out the other end strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, we're about to wrap up here about that. So if you want to, is there anything else you want to share about that? Like anything else you want to say to people who might be dealing with the sickness or the death of a loved one?
Yeah, just cherish every moment you have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And always remember the good times, and that's bad, because when my mom died, I was already remembering the bad moments we had. But I'm like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be cherishing the good moments I had. So
So I've been cherishing more and more of the good moments that I've had with my mom. Oh. And talk to somebody. I still even to this day, I write a lot. Like,
what are you writing?
Every night or every other night, I would write on how my day was and how was I, and like what I experienced. Because that really helped me. So also helped me going through my mom's stuff. But writing is how I was feeling. I still do that.
Yeah.
Like some way to get it all out, it would be like that, screaming to a pillow, like getting a hammer, nails, just beating the crap out of this a 2x4 or whatever. Whatever helps you to let all the emotions go. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I did some of that. I played a lot of basketball too at that time. Yeah, so there, yeah, that's fair enough. Like whatever helps you within like a certain, you know, you don't want to dive into some sort of like addiction, but whatever kind of you know will help you. Like you write a lot, and that's what comforts you. I just kept on doing what I, you know, use that as a ability to try to tell her story and to try to use that to, I guess I did the same thing. I guess I started to write about my experiences dealing with it. So yeah, you're exactly right with that, man. That's exactly how I kind of would say, and that's great advice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Andrew Sickle, for coming in. And calling in actually, and just sharing your life experiences with us, man.
You're welcome.
Well, anything else? Anything else before we have you sign off here, man?
Well, I can tell you about this and that, but those are different sermons. But I'm good right now.
You're okay. You're good. All right. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Call in anytime, man. Call in anytime. We'd definitely. Love to talk to you. We're here every Tuesdays at 7. And just want to thank Andrew again for calling in and sharing his story. And it's important to have that kind of like healthy way of dealing with things and healthy way of managing your kind of grief. And whether, you know, definitely talking to somebody, definitely, you know, writing a lot or like you said, like pounding a 2x4. Yeah.
I've done that.
You know what I did? Honestly, what I did when I found out my mom, like when her cancer was terminal and she wasn't going to get any better, I drop kicked my dresser drawer. Like, I mean, I did like a full out running drop kick.
Right, I would pay to see my and do that. I would kissing that. I would have pinned money.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I it was still like my apartment in Chicago still has that like dent from when I kicked it. And, I got every time, like, and I lived there for maybe two more, a year more. And every time I'd see that, I'd be like, there's when I, you know, did my thing. there's when I kicked it. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it, and it was. I actually felt better. Like I did. I actually felt. I was like, yeah, I feel better. Yeah, and then you know, I know for me, like I remember, like one of the nurses, like at the hospice, like I ended up getting her number and taking her out on a date. I got her like she was at the hospice. One of the nurses, like I ended up going on a date with her.
Interesting.
What's that?
That's interesting, I bet. So what are you talking about? Oh, I don't know.
It was. It didn't really go anywhere, but yeah, it was incredibly interesting. And it was fun because like she had seen me like, I mean, and that's why I said I tried to like be a witness at that point. I tried to be a good witness to everybody around me because I felt that's what God called me to do. And I tried to like deal with that. And then, you know, with my mom, with as much grace and wisdom as my mom was dealing with it. So I took a lot from her. And I just used that and just like, it was, I had a lot of anger towards my dad at that time. And I remember God specific, I've never heard God really specifically speak to me as clear as I did at that day when I was finding out that my dad wasn't a good caretaker to her. And I just was like, oh, you know, I got all this anger and I had to like, I was in a shock and I had all these like angry emotions. And I was like, I could strangle this guy right now when I saw him. And then I went by myself and I talked to my uncle and talked to a few people. And then I was shared with him like, hey, I'm dealing with this. I have a lot of anger right now. And God specifically like showed me this passage in the Bible where it talks about, you know, it's because, you need to show mercy on, like, forgive him 77 times 7. You know, how many times you need to forgive? 77 times 7. And it's because I have showed mercy on you and your faults and whatever thing that you've done, then you need to forgive your dad. Not only do you not need to forgive him, but you can't abandon him right now because he needs you. And I remember going, really, God? I mean, I haven't been that bad. He's like, yeah, well, you know, we can go through your faults. It's like, I don't have that many faults, God. It's like, well, you know, you struggle with, you know, this. I'm like, all right, okay, this, yeah. And this. I'm like, okay, God, I get it. Jeez. And so finally, like, it was one of those experiences, like, okay, I clear instructions on exactly what I needed to do. And so that was probably one of the most weird, comforting times to me, how God spoke to me through that and how I was supposed to be a witness to through this situation to my family who weren't believers.
Yeah.
But anyways, my friend Harvey, and I'll let you go here. If you want me to let you go, if you want, you can just hang around.
I have nothing better to do today.
Okay, cool. My friend Harvey, I had him post a funny thing, a weird, crazy thing that happened when he was at his funeral. He says, a girl wearing impossibly tall high-heeled boots sinking into the soft soil at a friend's burial service. She was shrinking for a bit. We were all looking at the casket thinking, could it be? Could she be alive? Could this last week of hell been capped by a miracle? Well, alas, no. The scream was from, well, the girl sinking heels first into the soil. So I and a couple of other guys had to hoist her onto the shoulders and get her into the firmer ground. We all needed that, and it was the first time in a week that many of us had laughed or smiled. And a distant second was in the car to enter my uncle's ashes at the cemetery. Oh man, my cousin kept making desert dry jokes and observations, including the oh so wrong but somehow funny, why do cemeteries have fences around them? Because everyone is dying to get in.
How so cheesy after that so many times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story. Like I remember, yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, he's it's like for me that also is like really healing to like look back, and it is like sometimes like I needed that. Like I know with my dad, my dad's funeral, I did like a comedy routine where I just like impersonated him. Because he had a lot of funny sayings. Like he was a weird, quirky guy. And I was scared to death to get up there and do that because like I felt like my grandma who was over there, who was sitting in the front row, I didn't know how she would handle that. I don't know if she would thought that funny, but like when I started going into my dad going, oh no, oh please. And just when I started impersonating him, I was looking down at my grandma. And she just was laughing up a storm, and so I was like, "All right, we're cool. This is great. So this is what's needed." Any weird thing like that happened to you in like a funeral or anything?
I've been to, I don't think so. Oh, no. Okay. So, this was in 2000 and something. Early 2000s. I went up to Idaho with some family for my great-grandma's. For my great-grandma, because she was on her deathbed. And then one time, we all went out to ice cream, except for my uncle and my great-aunt Margot. Came back.
Okay.
Uncle was painting my great-grandma's fingernails. Bro, give the head up. What are you doing?
That's funny.
Because, I'm trying to help out. We're like, okay, then.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Like, the weirdness that, like, I remember the first funeral that I went to, it was my Aunt Shuni, who I honestly thought, like, died, like, 5 years earlier. I didn't know she was still living. But it was, I was like 17 at the time. My brother was 17? I don't know how old I was, maybe 15. And I was just walking, you know, and I got out of school, which is cool. And so I was just walking, you know, in the service, and this weird looking lady comes up. She looks like a witch. And she comes up to us, and she just up to me and my brother, who were just standing there going, what do we do? I don't know. And she just comes up to us and goes, she loved you guys so much. And I was like, who is that? I don't know. You know, and apparently it was my aunt, who I'd never really seen or talked to, because she didn't have a good relationship with my dad. And I could see why, because she was just bonkers. So she drug us up, right? Yeah, she drug us up right up next to the coffin. It was an open casket. And she just says, go ahead, tell her how much you loved her. Go ahead. And she was just like, you know, she just tell her. And we're like, we loved you, Andrew. We loved you. You know, and so it was just like, what else do we do? Like, yeah. And so we were just like staring at this like open, it was an open casket. So it was like freaking me out. And like, and I just like, she would, I don't know. She like made us like stare there and look at it. Like it seemed like for like 10 minutes. And at some point we're like, can we leave now? Like, can we go to our seat? Can we do like, cause I mean, it was really awkward. And I didn't really know how funerals work. So I just was like, oh, there she is, you know? And I like me as a joking, like as a jokester that I am, I actually said, she moved. And nobody found it funny, but my dad was like, Ryan. I was like, I know, but what if she did? Yeah, so that was crazy. Yeah, that was really. And then there was one time where we did like after one of my cousin that my mom was really close to. We ended up having like a party afterwards where like we were just like limoing. It was like weird. They had like a dance party, and it felt right. Like it was weird at first because I was like, wait a minute, what? How do you mourn? How do you mourn something? You know, like what do you do? Like, hey, I'm mourning. Well,
I'm mourning. I'm having a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. Like mourning by like we're doing. Hey, what's the limbo? Okay. All right, this is for you, Quincy. So yeah, that's kind of what we do. Oh my gosh, I turned the air off, or turned the heat off at my place, and it's like freezing now.
And guess
what, anyways.
Brian?
Yeah.
How does that affect me? How does that affect me?
Hmm.
How does that affect me?
What's that?
That your place is freezing now, and how does that affect us?
Well, cause I'm really cold. And so if you're listening to this, pray for me.
I tell my name is Dub. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you? Well, it's just, it still says you not here. Yeah. That's cool. I can't get my heat back on. Turn on heat. It's cold in here. I might have the funeral for me here, freezing to death.
Yeah, I'm for that one, man.
Yeah, man. Anyways, I'm Ryan McChesney, and this has been Laughing at Funerals. I'll see you next week on Tuesday at 7, where we just kind of chill out. I think my guest should be my good friend from Chicago, Dave Ebert. If not, then I'll find somebody else. But I'm going to promote him from now on. So next week, my friend Dave and Andrew Sickle, thank you again for joining us, man.
You're welcome. Anytime. Anytime.
Buddy, take care.
All right.